The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton here on a Wednesday, February 6th, the week after the Super Bowl. Football is over, and despite the fact that I won my bets this weekend with the Pats -2.5 beating the Rams, I'm a little bit sad because the Rams have been that team that I've said that are going to lose for a while, and finally, Jared, on Sunday they did. You actually texted me before the game rooting for the Rams, and you got burnt, so now you owe me a beer, so we'll have to figure out a time when we'll go get a beer.
That's right. Yeah. We will, Connor.
So I told you this before the show. I'm very excited. This is the first time. You're not a big sports guy. It's the first time I can ask you your opinion on a game because you actually watched the game. Did you think the Rams were ever going to have a chance to come back and win?
I did. But it was such a low-scoring game.
Right.
For the longest time, I thought, well, if it's this low-scoring, both sides are, you know, like the Rams, well, I don't know enough about defense and offense, but the Rams' defense was pretty crappy.
Yeah.
And but somehow they kept on. It was 0-0, and...
It was one of those games.
I was really hoping. I had hope up until last quarter.
Well, how bad would it have been, though? You don't watch sports much. And then all of a sudden, you make one bet with me, and I lose, and you win. I mean, I feel like that's got to be good, really good bragging rights for you. but thank goodness I still have my ego intact.
What's your deal with the Patriots anyways? Are you from New England?
No, I'm not. No, I have not. No affiliation. Not a Patriots fan. I just think Tom Brady's unbelievable, and I think the Rams have been overrated much of the year.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's my take.
Okay.
The Patriots have been so dominant for so long. And,
right.
You know, I'm not a fan at all. And don't get me wrong, I think Brady is one of the GOATs.
Yeah.
You know? But don't you ever root for the underdog, man?
Oh, yes. Well, let me tell you this. So, first off, I'm a 49er fan. The Rams are in my division, so they're a divisional rival. So I'm gonna root for the Patriots over the Rams anyway. But to say that they are the underdog, the line for the game actually came out and had the Rams favored by one, and then it switched because everyone was like, "That's a stupid line," and they bet on the Patriots.
You see, I don't pay attention to that stuff. Well, I just naturally assumed the Patriots were the favorites.
Well, yeah, and they should have been. That's why the line switched, and they were the better team. I just think the Rams, they had a young quarterback. They just and against Tom Brady, that's just not going to work.
Okay, also, this is not that important.
Okay.
His name was Jared, man.
Oh, that's a good point. Jared Goff, Jared King. Hey, oh, real quick, what did you think of the halftime show with Adam Levine? Did you care for it? Yes, no?
I fast-forwarded through it.
You fast-forwarded through it. Okay. Yeah, here's the thing with the halftime show, and I'll get into all the other Super Bowl stuff here shortly throughout the show, but it's one of those things when you select a halftime entertainer, you can't please everybody. I heard a lot of people complaining about Adam Levine, and I'm thinking, there's no way to get someone who every single person likes.
Well, as I understand it, it was kind of hard to get, like, what they wanted originally because
right.
of the whole Kaepernick thing, really.
Yeah, that's true. But last year they had Justin Timberlake, who I would have to think has got to be one of the more beloved artists around the world. I know Bruno Mars did it a couple years ago, so they're kind of running out of those artists that are transcendent and so big.
To be honest, if it wasn't for The Voice, I wouldn't even know who Adam Levine
right,
is.
Right, exactly. And Travis Scott, some people know who he is. They had Outkast come out and do a song, so it was kind of a strange grouping. And
well, it was Big Boy, not Outkast, right?
Oh, yeah, you're
not
right.
Not that that matters.
That's a good point.
I only know that because I read the headlines.
You're right. Well, they played I Like the Way You Move, or The Way You Move, which is an Outkast song.
Right.
So, anyway, yeah, so the halftime show, a lot of people were saying that the Super Bowl was boring. I understand what the point of that was. People say, oh, it's low scoring. We've been having a high scoring year all year. The conference championship games were all high scoring, and then the Super Bowl was a dud because it was so low scoring. And I say yes, and they're saying, oh, it's the worst Super Bowl of all time. It was the lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time. But at the same time, it was close in the fourth quarter. It was tied 3-3. Tom Brady had to go down and score a touchdown. I think it was Burkhead on the touchdown, or Sonny Michel on the touchdown. But it was a close game. It wasn't like you already knew who was going to win in the third and fourth quarter. So I don't like the fact that people are saying it was a boring Super Bowl because you had to watch it all the way through the fourth quarter because you didn't know who was going to win.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
People said it was one of the most boring Super Bowls, and I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are the same people.
It was down to the last quarter.
Right. And those are the people who are saying, similar to me, that baseball is struggling because there's not enough scoring. So, bringing it full circle, and we'll talk about that more second segment with
Aren't
Dan
you
Anderson.
The one saying that?
I am saying that. No, you're right. I am saying that.
The baseball thing.
It's the same thing, though. It's people saying that scoring is what's attracted to them when they watch sports, and I understand that completely. But at the same time, especially when it's as big of a game as a Super Bowl, for it's a Game 7 of the World Series, as long as it's close, that's what's good. And there was drama in it. There was big play after big play in the fourth quarter. And you kind of just knew the Patriots were going to score that fourth quarter touchdown. That's the real reason why I bet on the Patriots, just because they have that fourth quarter mentality. They've been there before. Tom Brady's done it 5 times in the fourth quarter, and you just kind of knew he was going to score a fourth quarter touchdown.
Yeah.
So
we all knew that.
Yep. Except for Jared. So a lot of stuff, we'll talk about the Super Bowl and Tom Brady with 6 Super Bowls now, or Super Bowl rings, and I mean, he's 6-9, which is unbelievable. Bill Belichick, also a huge proponent in that as well. And I think one of the things that people were so perplexed by was the fact that Sean McVay, who's been his offensive head coach all year long, everybody's raved about how good Sean McVay is and how innovative he is on the offensive side of the football, and they basically laid an egg in this game. What the Patriots did, and I don't know if everybody's been talking about this, the Patriots played man-to-man defense the entire year. Almost every single play, they played man-to-man defense. And what did they do in the Super Bowl? Classic Bill Belichick. He switched it up. They went zone. And it just seemed like the Rams couldn't figure it out. And then on the offensive side of the football, because the Patriots weren't doing much against the Rams defense either, but I thought the Rams defense played pretty well, what they did is instead of they wanted to create matchup problems. So instead of just continuing to stick to their game plan in the fourth quarter, their offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, he puts some of his running backs out on the outside as a wideout. And what that did is it created mismatches, and that's what allowed Gronk and Edelman to get open down the field in that fourth quarter drive that gave them the touchdown that won the game. So, again, it's just innovation versus innovation, and it sounded like the Patriots made adjustments that were positive for them, but the Rams just couldn't. And obviously when Jared Goff doesn't have that good of a game, although when you look at the stats, so Tom Brady was 21-for-35 with 262 yards and an interception. The interception was one of the worst thrown balls I've seen. It looked like it came off his hand terribly for the Patriots. And then for the Rams, Goff was 19-for-38 for 229 yards and an interception. So they weren't that different, but it was just the way that the game was rolling. I mean, the Rams had, 9 punts, which I think was a record. So and when you do that, and I don't care how good your defense is, and it was a defensive battle. Also, Tom Brady had better protection than Jared Goff did, too. And that's despite the fact that the Rams have a great defensive line. So, you know, it was a really good game. It was a chess match. And I think when you have coaches making decisions and constantly changing their game plans and going back to head-to-head against each other, and I just thought it was a very entertaining game. especially when you go and break it down to some of the differences that were made throughout the contest. I just thought it was a well-played game, and I was especially happy because Jared owes me a beer, and I won my bet on -2.5. So, anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be back with Dan Anderson. We'll talk more about the Super Bowl, and we'll get into some more NBA trade deadline talks on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sports Talk with Connor Sutton here in segment 2. Dan Anderson joining me once again. We have a quick trade that was just announced. This is what I love about the trade deadline time. It is so much fun. However, one of them including the Sacramento Kings, so even more interesting for Dan and I, big Kings fans. The Rockets, who are actually about to play in about 45 minutes. They play the Rockets tonight, so the Rockets are acquiring Amon Shumpert, who's been kind of vital for the Kings this year and in more of his locker room duties. He's also averaged 9 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. The Rockets will send guard Brandon Knight, forward Marquise Chriss, who's out of Sacramento, California. I actually played against him in high school. Side note. And a 2019 lottery-protected first-round pick to the Cavaliers. And the Cavs will send Alec Burks to the Kings, who's still on his rookie deal, and Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin to the Rockets. So, And Stauskas was just traded, or Stauskas and Baldwin were just traded on Sunday.
I was going to say a couple days ago, right?
So Nick Stauskas, who was drafted by the Kings, he's racking up some travel miles, that's for sure. That's incredible. Yeah, so we'll talk about that more. But Dan, I want to get your take on the Super Bowl we had. Obviously, we talked about it with the Patriots. We thought going into that game we're going to be the better team. They did, in fact, win. And I just want to get your thoughts on all of it overall.
I mean, I enjoyed the whole thing.
Yeah.
I know you were talking earlier how people thought it was boring. I agree with both of you guys here. It was tension-filled, everything. Like, it was one of those games where one play, which we saw the pass to Gronk, was the backbreaker there. But it could easily have been Aaron Donald getting through stripping. Like, it could have been going either way. So I was on edge. And for those of you that don't know, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I'm a huge Brady guy. So I'm rooting hard for him to get his ring here. So I was stressed and just going with it. I don't understand the boring part about it.
Yeah, me neither. I think it's just the infatuation with scoring now.
I think there's a ton of Patriots fatigue out there. So unless,
that's a big part of it.
Unless you're a Patriots fan.
Or had money on the Patriots.
Or you had money on the Patriots, or you're from St. Louis because you hate the Rams because they left you.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted anything to do with this matchup.
Yeah.
And New Orleans especially. They didn't even watch. They boycotted. They had like the lowest rating in recorded history in the Super Bowl for them. I think a lot of it stems from that. They're just sick of hearing Brady win and seeing Brady win and those guys. So.
Yeah, and I get that to a certain extent, but it doesn't mean it wasn't a good Super Bowl. Just because the team you didn't want to win lost. I mean, I just think that it's the infatuation with scoring, and this is the kind of the debate that we get into about baseball, is baseball struggles to stay relevant because of their, not inability to score, but the constant chance of scoring, I should say. So I just think, again, I don't understand why people think it was boring. I thought it was interesting that the Rams tried to kick a field goal first. So they're down 13-3. I think it was under a minute left. Basically, you're going to have to get a score and then get an onside kick. I don't understand why kick a field goal first.
I think the reason you do that is because you always have a chance that Hail Mary as time expires. So you get the points and then try to get the onside kick.
Yeah.
It saves you a little bit more time if you kick the field goal. Then if you're wasting time taking shots at the end zone, you may not have time to get up and clock it to kick a field goal that you need. I thought, and especially their kicker had been lights out.
That kick was not even close.
It was not close. And then I hear that he was injured.
Yeah.
There's some things going on behind the scenes. But I thought it was good. I was rooting for the outcome that came about. So maybe I was a little bit more slanted that way. But I enjoyed it, the whole thing, all the way through.
What about the halftime show? Jared and I mentioned it in the first segment. Adam Levine, I heard a lot of pushback on him, mainly because he took his shirt off and was wearing the... And some of the tattoos, I saw a lot of good things on Twitter making fun of him. But I was saying that there's a lot of people unhappy with that fact it was Adam Levine. And my point is, you can't please everybody.
Right. The funny thing was, right before the game kicked off, I guess a couple hours before, I'm in a group text message with a bunch of my guys. And a guy, Luke, that you know, he lives in England, so he was staying up late to watch the game over there. He texted out, "What are your predictions?" And I responded, I was like, Maroon 5 is going to play a perfectly acceptable halftime show, but the reaction to it is going to be that it's the worst recorded musicians in history.
Yep.
And that's basically, I think we just live in a culture where people love to be outraged.
Yep.
I thought it was okay. Like, it wasn't the best thing I've ever seen. I was entertained.
Yeah.
He played some good songs. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think people are outraged before it even happened.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
You know, so.
That's a good point.
I don't even think he had a chance.
I don't think so either. What thing is that I think you don't appreciate the show that they put on until you're there in person.
Right.
All the lights they do and some of the staging changes is truly incredible. So I think that is a big part of it as well. And I think Adam Levine, this isn't really an entertainment show as far as like singing and whatnot, but it seemed like in his first couple songs he didn't go to hit that high note, and I feel like that's what he's known for.
Yeah, maybe he's saving it for a crescendo at the end. I'm not sure either, but
I don't know.
I do think part of it, because of the Kaepernick stuff, people didn't want to like it because they just didn't want to be involved with it or touch anything that had to do with it. But I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was the greatest thing, but it certainly wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen in my life either.
Then he took his shirt off, and I'm just like, all right, well.
That was fine. I left the kitchen left to go to the kitchen to grab something to eat, and I came back. I was like, what happened? He has no shirt on now.
Yeah. I don't know what was worse, the tank top he was wearing before that or the California tattoo. I've seen people who've been writing like Illinois on their stomach. So anyway, people are having fun with it. I don't think it was that bad of a show. I had Sunday Morning was my opening song on my bed. I missed. He didn't even play it.
I feel like the only artist that would be, all right, it wouldn't be unanimous, but the closest you could get is just have Beyonce play it every year.
Yeah.
And that's the only person.
I mean, I thought Justin Timberlake did great last year. I don't remember hearing any feedback.
I've heard several people say that that was awful, and I was like, I thought it was fine.
Awesome. Bruno Mars. There's such a small group of entertainers, and I think Bruno Mars, Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, maybe, I don't know who's left on that list. Usher did it one year. But I don't think he was, it was Rolling, I think it was Usher and Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just think there's so few people who are big enough and popular enough to play the halftime show and to make everybody happy. No, I'm saying not everybody, but over 50%.
Right. They're due for, we've talked about them in the past, they're due for like one of these big country stars to come hit. Like Taylor Swift. I think Taylor Swift would be fine, although people would turn on her too.
Oh, absolutely. I think it'd be awesome if we had Taylor Swift and Kanye West do a halftime show.
Yeah, now that would be entertaining to watch.
Okay, I'm backtracking a little bit here, but I didn't read, like, anything more than the headlines, but can someone explain to me the Chipotle bag thing?
What was it?
That Adam Levine looked like a Chipotle bag?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was the tank top, I think, right?
Oh, I haven't
seen that either, Jared.
Okay, sorry. That was random.
What was it on? Social media?
Just, like, headlines and also, like, Twitter.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see that. But I know that people were constantly making fun of him, especially like his nipples was like a big topic.
Yeah,
it was trending on Twitter, and then there was Twitter accounts being made.
Because that was the what I saw was, how come it's okay for him to have his nipples out, but Janet Jackson,
right,
not so much a few years back. So I don't know. Like I said, I think people just want to be outraged. And like Jared said, they were already outraged, and they were just looking to – they were coming from it, let's pick this apart and not – let's hear how it goes and see if we like it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw a tweet. I don't know if you saw, I did retweet it, Dan, but it was a tweet about the MLS Cup, the final game, had 75,000 people there, and the Super Bowl had 70,000.
Right.
Something of that nature. And people were, it was just a tweet about attendance. And then all of a sudden, we had everyone going to backup football, look at the revenue, total revenue for team.
Right.
It was like, no, man, it was just a tweet just to say they had more people here for the MLS Cup. And I think it was just because there was more available seats for the MLS Cup. It's because it's designed different in the stadium.
It's designed different, and there's a lot more media that take those seats. So they're booked to capacity.
Yeah.
The fact that an MLS match sold that much is
right. Atlanta United fans are unbelievable.
Yeah, they average like 50,000 people per game.
So they're awesome as far as that goes. But I just thought it was very, very interesting, and people were getting outraged about that tweet too. And I'm just like, there's just... Why are people getting so upset all the time?
That's where you go to be outraged, Twitter.
Yeah, apparently. But the problem is, if you're not outraged on Twitter, I feel like you're an outcast.
That is true. Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. So we'll get into more stuff. Let's take a break real quick. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the NBA trades that are possibly happening, that have happened. Obviously, we have a number that we can talk about. Tobias Harris to the Sixers. Porzingis to the Mavs. My idea for KD going to the Knicks, it sounds more and more plausible. So we'll talk about that more next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans, covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know, nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes,
but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
This is Tracy Edwards. Join the Redding Rancheria for its 2019 Black and White Year to Remember. Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards presentations, and silent auction. Celebrate the 51 organizations who we were able to help in 2018. One organization receiving an additional gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund. So come experience the Redding Rancheria Black and White Year to Remember. Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Call Maria Orozco at 242-4516 for info or tickets.
Celebrate Valentine's Day a little early with your sweetheart Sunday, February 10th at the Cascade Theater with a special showing of the classic romantic comedy Sleepless in Seattle.
Give me a wink and a smile.
It's date night at the Cascade. The party features live music, dancing, themed drinks, even a jewelry giveaway from Devon's. Party at 6, film at 7:30. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
We go together like a wink and a smile.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Dan Anderson is in studio, and now joining us via the phone line is Sam Comente, who is down in Sacramento. Thanks for joining us tonight, Sam.
As always, glad to be on.
So we were texting earlier today about some of the possibilities for the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, Iman Shumpert traded today, kind of something we did not see coming. He was kind of that glue guy that people have been talking about in the locker room. But I said this during the commercial break to you, that I think that because of the way this works with the glue guy, Iman Shumpert's really not the guy that we're going to have around for the future. He was on it; he's on an expiring deal. So, truthfully, it's almost better to get rid of him earlier. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think that there was almost no chance that Shumpert was going to be re-signed this offseason.
Right.
And so you essentially flipped him a defensive-first shooting guard for a scoring-first shooting guard in Alec Burks, and you also got a second-round pick, which, if I'm not mistaken, is Cleveland's second-round pick, which is almost as good as a first-round pick because Cleveland is so bad that that should be a real high second-round pick in next year's draft.
Right, right, and especially because we don't have a first-round pick, it'll kind of feel like one to us.
Yes, and, you know, I saw a tweet about how the two things Vlade Divac loves most, the general manager for the Kings, is second-round picks and shooting guards.
Yeah, well, he got both, so
he's got both.
He's winning, but and we talked about this also during the commercial break too, and Dan, you can weigh on this a little bit, is the fact that this feels like a move to set up a move.
I think so. I mean, Burtz, I don't think, brings anything
right
more to the table that we're not getting elsewhere. I mean, maybe a little bit more offense, but we're not looking for offense out of a shooting guard at this point.
I'll get both your guys' opinions on this. So Willie Cauley-Stein has been a guy, his contract's expiring this year. Obviously, the trade deadline is tomorrow, I believe, right? Or is it tonight?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, yeah. So
tomorrow at 12 p.m. our time.
Yes. So I just think that there's a good chance he gets traded. We're not going to give him the money he wants in the offseason. We might as well get rid of him now. He's been not very good, and Harry Giles off the bench has showed way more promise. So it just seems to me like he's the guy we might get rid of.
Yeah, to me, that seems like the logical piece that's going to move. If we do make another move, like we said, we probably think so. And yeah, Giles has really stepped up. The other night, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
I think
him and Bagley have been great.
Give him more minutes. Yeah, him and Bagley together have been great. I wouldn't be too sad to see Willie go.
Yeah, I mean, neither. He's a little soft down low. For how big he is, he should be dunking on people more and getting
more
rebounds.
Low, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Sam, what do you think?
I'm thinking that if this is a precursor to another move, that the other move is going to be for Harrison Barnes, who is at this point in time the only other option for them at small forward. And if they truly want a small forward that can play defense first, which they need so desperately have all season, and Shumpert's done his best to kind of fill that void, but he's not a small forward, and he's been playing out of position to the best of his ability. But like you were saying, getting rid of him isn't a huge shock necessarily or a huge loss, but now you got to fill that defensive prowess somehow. And the best trade offer I can just pull up off the top of my head and maybe use on NBA Trade Machine, which is something we all like to do,
yeah,
pretend like we're NBA GMs, is Willie Cauley-Stein and maybe Zebo, because he's a big contract that can counter with Harrison Barnes, and one of these 800 second-round picks for Harrison Barnes.
Right.
And that clears up a little bit of your front-court jam that gets you Harrison Barnes, who will undoubtedly, I think, play next year if he were to come to the Kings, because he has a player option for this offseason that's about $25 million, which he would be insane to decline. So you get him for next year as well.
But doesn't that scare you that would tie up money this offseason? Because that's what worries me for Harrison Barnes. He's an average small forward, maybe even a little below average. And he's had a couple decent years in Dallas, but it seems like ever since he's left the Warriors, he's kind of been incognito.
I might disagree with you on that, honestly. I've always liked Harrison Barnes. I thought Harrison Barnes was the guy the Kings should have drafted in the draft, in which I can't remember what year, but they took Thomas Robinson instead, and I don't need to say anything else about that misfire. But I like his attitude, I like his defensive abilities, and I like the fact that he's essentially a seasoned playoff veteran from his time with the Warriors. And to get him on a deal that's essentially 1 year, half this year and then the year next, I wouldn't mind that at all. And I think, unfortunately, it's going to be hard for the Kings to lure free agents here to Sacramento.
Right.
So might as well get ahead of it now while you can.
Okay. I actually like what you said there. And what's interesting now with the – and we can kind of get into some of the other trades that happened. So we talked about Otto Porter Jr. Possibly coming to the Kings. I was very thankful that Sacramento didn't trade for him just because of his huge deal. And he had
right.
He's making $26 million this season, $27 next season, and has another player option for 2021. And he's just not a $27 million a year guy. And there's about 2 to 3 years, a 2 to 3 year window, where in the NBA with the collective bargaining agreement and the way the new TV deal was structured, that people were just paying guys left and right. And now they're starting to come back to earth a little bit. Guys aren't getting paid near as much. Who are about Otto Porter's abilities, 12.6 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, 2 assists. So I actually like the fact the Kings didn't go after him, and I think it makes it a little more usable in this offseason. And, you know, the Kings might be a little more desirable this offseason because of the way they've been playing. So who knows? I mean, I'm not saying we're going to get Kevin Durant, but maybe we get a third-tier or second-tier small forward who's not a top 25 player, but maybe, you know, the 25 to 50 range, kind of like when we got Rudy Gay via trade, somewhere in the Rudy Gay era when he was originally traded to the Kings.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of free agent small forwards this offseason to be excited about, I guess, if you're a Kings fan, that are in the realm of what the Kings could lure. So Stanley Johnson, who's now in the Bucks, Tobias Harris, who just got traded to Philadelphia, who probably,
he would be
because
a great
of that
one.
Trade, is going to be locked up in Philly, unfortunately, because I like Tobias Harris quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
And so they're going to have their choices, and I would like it if they would roll the dice and just lock down someone for next year now, which is the Harrison Barnes, which would have been Otto Porter. And I agree, Otto Porter would have been a bad move. And I really think, though, truthfully, the reason the trade didn't happen was because the Wizards wanted Bogdan Bogdanović, and the Kings didn't want to give him up.
I think
that's what stopped that from happening, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. So, also a couple other trades. As you mentioned, the Tobias Harris one. So now the 76ers have basically gone all in on this season, Dan, because they got Harris, they got Jimmy Butler. Their starting five is arguably the most talented starting five in the league and one of the youngest as far as these young stars. Are they now the team to beat in the East?
I think it's hard to say just because Butler is so much of a chemistry problem. He seems to bring bags with him. Talent-wise, I think almost certainly. With the Celtics, they have a lot of talent, obviously, as well. But they are having issues as well. So I like the move for them to go for it because nobody's really established themselves, as far as I'm concerned, in the East. So I understand totally why you would go out and try to go all in this year.
Could I make the argument that the Clippers won this trade? They got two first-round picks. They cleared up cap space. Not cleared up cap space, but they got some expirings. That means they can go get free agents,
yes,
too.
Yes, it certainly is mutually beneficial for both teams as well. And it may end up panning out that it is the Clippers that end up winning it. It's a little bit hard to see. If they can figure it out the chemistry-wise in Philly, then and they go somewhere, I still don't think they win, but maybe, maybe it's a finals trip for them.
Which is big for the city of Philadelphia.
Huge,
They haven't gotten there in a long time. I believe since, 2001 when they played the Lakers?
I think so, yeah.
With Iverson? So, Sam, real quick, we've seen the rumors swirling about Anthony Davis to the Lakers. And we've seen the trades that have been proposed and the fact that it's quite possible that the Lakers have basically tried to get every single package that they can together, basically without LeBron, to get Anthony Davis, and yet the Pelicans aren't biting. Now, to me, it seems that those first-rounders that they're trying to trade two first-rounders, Zubac, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, basically anybody they can have, that's valuable for Anthony Davis. And the Pelicans are saying no because those second-rounders aren't that valuable. If the Lakers are going to be good, they're going to be late-round picks. And a lot of these guys, I don't think they're as good as they were when they were drafted as far as their trade value. So since they've come into the league, I feel like their trade value's decreased. And it just makes sense for me that the Pelicans are saying no. They'll wait until hopefully we'll see here in the next 24 hours or so. We'll see. But it seems like they're going to wait till July 1st when they could possibly make a deal with the Celtics.
Yeah, and I've been very skeptical as to what the Pelicans are doing, counter what you just said, just because if I were them, not that you want to rush to any conclusions when it comes to your best player and the greatest player in Pelicans Hornets history, that doesn't go too far backwards, Pelicans history at least. I really liked the idea for them of getting, I think the idea was Lonzo, Kuzma, Ingram, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Zubac, and two first-round picks. That's half the Lakers team that are cheap, talented, young, fill holes. They have, next to the Kings, like the biggest need at small forward, and you essentially could have gotten Brandon Ingram. You could have gotten Kuzma, who can play small forward. I like that trade, and it seemed almost opposite of what made sense. It seemed like the Pelicans would accept that, and the Magic Johnson and Lakers wouldn't offer it. But instead, Magic Johnson and the Lakers were like, here, have this, and the Pelicans were adamant about not accepting it. And it was like reverse to me, because I would have thought it would have been the other way around, that the Pelicans would have loved that offer, taken it, gotten rid of the guy who's going to leave anyways and said he will. And so it's all kind of confusing. For the Lakers, it's almost a blessing that they didn't accept it, because Anthony Davis has already said, I'm going to come to L.A. in 2020. So why they would mortgage half their team and a couple key young guys for a player that's already going to come is short-sighted. It's them being impatient. It's them getting blown out by the Pacers by 40 points.
Yeah, that was bad.
You know, and so they're embarrassed.
Well, my fear is for the Lakers is that this was their chance to do it. I mean, if this was they were going to get Davis, they're going to get him now. And we've heard guys say we're going to the Lakers. Paul George, who, by the way, is having a near MVP season right now, said he was going to go to the Lakers essentially in the same way Anthony Davis would. So, yeah, he might say he's going, but at the same time, will he actually? Who knows?
Yeah. No, I agree, and I think the fact that the Celtics are saying, hey, we might just give you Jason Tatum if you wait. And I would value Jason Tatum way above anyone that's in the Lakers trade package,
right,
as do they, clearly. But that's rolling the dice themselves, because you're going to hope that Anthony Davis is now back from injury and will stay healthy and his value will stay high, that the Celtics do indeed want to trade Jason Tatum or would trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. So there's a lot of ifs, a lot of uncertainty, but I don't think any trade with Anthony Davis is going to happen come 12 o'clock tomorrow. It's unlikely.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I don't think he's moving. I do not blame the Pelicans, though, at all for not taking this. I think that
This just shows how much assets Danny Ainge has and how much power he has right now in the NBA, too.
Exactly. I think
truly
it would be not foolish to take it, because obviously you're getting a lot, but it's a little foolish not to have all of your options available for you. And who cares if he wants to go to L.A.? Like, I think you wait. You take the chance he's not going to get hurt again. His and even if he does, they're going to trade boatloads of
right
picks and things for him. I think it's a little foolish for them to pull the trigger unless they really like throw in a couple more picks or whatever the case may be. Like, you have to blow their socks off in order for them to pull the trigger. So I don't blame them at all for balking
I don't
here.
Know if I think they've kind of gotten all the value they think they have in throwing it at him. I don't know if they can get any more value unless they somehow put together a trade and get a big star, but then why wouldn't they just keep him? So,
exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, very interesting. We also got some more stuff to talk about. I want to talk about the fact that Porzingis is now going to be on the Mavs with Luka Doncic, which might be one of the most entertaining teams next season when Porzingis comes back. And the Knicks, I think their probability of getting KD just increased. We'll talk about that next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's
Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment 4, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton with Dan Anderson. Sam Comente joining us on the phone lines. During the commercial break, we talked a little bit more about the options for Kevin Durant, Porzingis. And apparently I called myself a genius earlier in the show, so now Jared has created a new sound effect for whenever I say something intelligent, we have a sound effect to play. Hit it, Jared.
Connor, you are genius.
I love it.
So don't get used to hearing that, I guess.
No, play it again.
Connor, you are genius.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. So looking up quickly the odds of Kevin Durant going to the Knicks this summer. This was November 26th, so obviously this has changed a lot. But it was plus 750. Now, and I can get your guys' opinions on this, but they trade away Porzingis, which was kind of their cornerstone guy. There's a very good chance they get the number one pick. They have about a 25% chance, I think, 33, depending on where they end up. But they trade away Porzingis. Their best player. He's been the best player in New York for quite a while. To me, they only do that and start clearing cap space unless they have a very, very good intention that they think they can land Kevin Durant in the offseason. Dan, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think it's risky, but it's a risk worth taking. If you can land a player like Durant, he's going to help. I mean, obviously, they don't need help in the market there and to lure people, but if you have Durant there, it definitely helps.
Right,
like even more.
And they have the spot for two maxes. They might have the first overall pick, which means Zion Williamson
for a cheap contract.
Cheap contract for 4 years with a cheap contract. So very, very interesting. And I think Kevin Durant wants to be the guy. There's talks of Kyrie going too.
And I agree with exactly what you just said. I think Durant cares what a lot of people. He cares a lot what people think about him. And if he could go to New York and help that city win again, and that city would be huge, and his legacy would be just elevated even higher. Because right now he's always going to have that, well, you had to join Steph, you had to join those guys to win. So if he could go there and be the man, especially in New York, I think I like the odds.
I saw an article that said that after they won the last finals, that Durant thought that he would be known as the best player in the world for the time being, and nope, it's still been LeBron.
Just LeBron, yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting. Sam, what do you think?
I think it's almost set in stone that he goes to New York. And to compare it to something, because I'm a diehard Raider fan, as you know, just a little over a year ago, they fired their head coach at the time, Jack Del Rio, right after the season ended, even though there was all these rumors swirling that John Gruden was going to return, but nobody knew. And they fired him. And for about 2 weeks, everyone was like, what just happened? Like, why did they just fire this guy? And then you find out that they knew for that entire time leading up to firing him that they had John Gruden returning. So I think it correlates, it's similar to that, where that people within the Knicks organization must have a reason, must have even possibly been told that Kevin Durant is going to sign with New York to be the guy in the Big Apple. And they obviously can't say anything because it's tampering, it's against the rules. It does happen quite a bit. And I think it's got to be a guarantee that you bring in Kevin Durant, you pair him with your top three pick, and Dennis Smith, who they really like, who's going to get a plenty of chances the remainder of the season to play as much as he wants and shoot as much as he wants. And you're going to bring in this whole new era of Knicks basketball for the 40th time in 10 years.
Yeah, and the Knicks, the problem is there's been whispers about the fact that LeBron and D-Wade originally wanted to go to the Knicks before they went to the Heat, and that basically Pat Riley swooped him up after the Knicks just struggled in their pitch. So there's still that. The Knicks are still the Knicks. They're still ran by Michael Dolan.
It's always a risk here.
Yeah. Man. I don't know. And now the Mavs, they have Porzingis. They have Luka, who's probably the newest transcendent talent in the league right now. I mean, obviously, the Mavs are going to get Porzingis, who is 7'3". He's a little injury prone, but he can shoot it. I don't know how good they're going to be. They're going to need more pieces. They're going to need kind of a bruiser. They don't have that. But they're definitely going to be a very interesting team the next couple of years.
I wouldn't honestly go so far to make a bold prediction that the Knicks in 2 years will have come out of this trade better than Dallas, just in the sense that they got rid of a guy in Porzingis who is loved and obviously very talented, very young, but is injury prone, is 7'3", and when I saw him in photos the other day. He is so skinny. He is just so ghastly skinny for a guy his size that I fear that he's probably going to get hurt again down the line, unless he adds a lot of muscle, because he's like a stick.
Right.
And so you got rid of him because you knew he wasn't wanting to stay around. You clear out the cap space. And I don't really get the Mavericks roster as it is right now. Obviously, the idea is it's Doncic and it's Porzingis, and let's build everything around them. But for the time being, their roster is still kind of in obscurity. And I think the Knicks at least have the ability to be like, we're New York. We have a lot of money. We have the top, probably the top overall pick if we're that bad and we have that good of a chance. So I think there's a lot more going in the Knicks' favor down the line than for Dallas. Because I think Dallas rolled the dice maybe a little bit more, just because you don't know what you have in Porzingis until he gets back on the court next season.
So you have somebody.
Yes.
You have somebody, I agree. But I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and be bold and say that the Knicks might come out of this actually the better team.
Well, if they get Kevin Durant, they absolutely will. But here's another thing to think about.
But in general.
Yes. Luka's on his rookie contract. They dumped the DeAndre Jordan contract, which is a terrible contract. And so is Porzingis. Porzingis is on his rookie contract till next year. So they have a lot of cap space this summer, too. Can they be a team that can possibly land a free agent? I know Mark Cuban thinks they can. They haven't done it yet, but we'll see.
The big wild card to me this summer is DeMarcus Cousins.
That's
true. Can go basically anywhere he wants, and if he thinks he can be the guy, or like the Mavericks, to me seems like a great choice. I think the Milwaukee Bucks, if they decide not to sign Middleton or one of the other free agents, and they pair him up with Giannis there, I think that's a great option. But I think he is going to be a huge player in a lot of things this summer.
That's what's so great about the NBA, and really that's why I think the NBA is so different from these other leagues, is because so many trades can happen, and all these big names can be flying all over the place, and we don't know where everybody's going to go. Free agency is entertaining. The social media aspect of it is entertaining. And even more than that, the trade deadline. I mean, we're basically checking Twitter every couple minutes to see what Woj is going to drop on us.
Well, and I think the greatest thing to be excited to about the NBA this next year is, and I sound like such a Kings fan as I say this, but the Warriors will be broken up. DeMarcus is going to go somewhere else. Kevin Durant, I think, will leave. And I think as they retool their roster around Steph and Clay, who will get a maxed out contract from Golden State, they'll probably trade Draymond Green just because they want to get rid of his attitude. And I don't think Draymond's even been good the past.
He has been
really
horrific offensively. Horrific.
He has been nothing of help this year. So if they could trade him to a team that might be desperate for some marketing campaign that they can use with Draymond Green and use him as a face, then good for them. But I'm just excited about the idea that the NBA will, this next year, almost certainly reshift its power structure after Golden State likely, unfortunately, wins another title this year. But it's gonna be a whole different ballgame come 2019.
Right, and the way contracts are now being negotiated now, they're very different from, as I mentioned, a couple years ago. I think I said that last segment. So, really, contracts are all different. Guys want maxes, but nobody wants to pay them maxes. So, guys like Willie Cauley-Stein, who think they are worth $18 million a year, they're not. I don't think they're going to get paid $18 million a year. They're not going to get those max contracts that we saw guys coming off the rookie deal getting a couple years ago, like Otto Porter, for instance. So,
well, let's hope we don't pay Willie Cauley-Stein $18 million a year.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Sam, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll do it more often now that I realize we can do things over the phone. So sorry about that. I don't know why I didn't think that, Jared. I know. I'm stupid. Wait,
that's
real
right.
quick.
Technology
real quick.
Is amazing.
Real quick, Jared, play that thing again. Play it again. Do you have it on? No, you don't have it? Did you change it to Connor is an idiot or something?
Connor, you're
a genius. There we go. Wait, one more time. Sorry, I talked over.
Connor, you a genius.
What was that? That's a...
You can change the people and accents.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
all
I
right.
really was going to put, Connor, you're stupid.
Oh, that would have been funny.
Just to surprise you.
Dang, that would have been funny. All right, Dan, thanks for coming on. Sam, thank you very much. Jared, great show from you, my friend. Wow, you had an unbelievable first two segments bringing out that football knowledge.
I'm the GOAT, man.
He is the he's the GOAT. All right, man. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us on Sports Talk with Goddard Sutton.
Them like they do in Texas days. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Love game, intuition, play the cards of space to start. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart. Oh, 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 oh. I'll get him high, show him what I got. Oh, 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 oh. I'll get him high.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.